This is the SB Live Washington Podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports across the Evergreen State and the people who play them. I'm Andy Bueller, statewide preps reporter with SB Live, and with me are it's the trio. We're back. We have the pride of Tacoma, the prodigal son, some have said, Todd Millis, senior reporter with SB Live. And then we've got the host of the ISO podcast, wherever you get podcasts, and SB Live's preeminent basketball mind, Dan Dickow. Gents, how are we doing this week? Nice to have all three of us back on the mic.
Yeah, life is good. I know we finally got a chance to spend a decent amount of time together in Vancouver while we were recording our virtual media days. Those are being pushed out daily, so that's cool. But yeah, took last week off with our normal triumvirate of a podcast, and we're back at it.
There's only one person that calls me the prodigal son of Tacoma, Andy, and it's you. So don't say that there are others who refer to me in that manner.
And I'm doing that politician thing where they skirt any responsibility by saying, "Oh yeah, people, I hear people have been saying this." So I'm speaking it into existence.
It's not catching on in Pierce County, so stop saying it.
Hey, you just wait. You just wait. With Tacoma Dome State Hoops 2022, you're gonna be gliding through that thing with people exalting you. So, before we jump into it, we've got a really fun show today. Josh Connerly, a 5-star O lineman from Rainier Beach, joins. Really excited for that interview. Josh is an incredible athlete, a really gifted young man, and I'm excited to get to know him a little bit more. So stick around for that. We're going to talk a little hoops now that basketball is back. But before we do, Dan, you mentioned those media days that we recorded now a couple weeks ago that are being released at a very rapid pace on the site. You can find them on the YouTube channel, SB Live Sports, on the website, scorebooklive.com/Washington, and the SB Live Sports app. So we talked to about 45 boys and girls basketball programs across the state, went deep with most of the time a player and a coach, sometimes just a coach, on the season, a little bit of a deeper look at the roster and the shutdown, and just tried to bring kind of to light some of the stories across this state in this shortened basketball season. So lots there to look out for. If you want to get to know the landscape of the state a little bit better, I recommend it. And it was a lot of fun doing with you guys, of course. But I got a bone to pick with you guys, because we ended every one of these interviews by asking a question along the lines of, what's your favorite sports movie? And I know you guys know where I'm going with this. A really common answer was one that I thought was really justified, and that was Remember the Titans. And I heard a lot of pushback from both of you guys on why that was even mentioned. So I just want to clear the air and just say that I wholeheartedly think that you guys need to go revisit that movie.
I'll start. Yeah, that was one of the biggest surprises for me, how many times that movie was mentioned. It's a good movie, but to put it as the best sports movie of all time to me is a stretch. You know, I know I'm a basketball guy, but I can't get away from Hoosiers. I just cannot go away from Hoosiers. The only other one that I want to consider and throw out there, and it depends on if you consider this a sport or not, and I would love to hear both of your guys' take on this, Rounders, because I love poker. I used to play a lot of poker way back in the day, and you know, it's on ESPN, or it used to be a ton on ESPN, and a lot of people do consider it because it's entertainment, a sport to a certain extent. So Hoosiers and Rounders for me.
Yeah, I don't know what you're getting at on Remember the Titans. Are you trying to convert Dan and I to, you know, I don't understand why this is being brought up on this particular podcast. Good for those guys that they and gals that they like that movie and it gets them going, you know, a little bit. But I mean, I could think of 10 or 15 movies I would put in front of Remember the Titans. Happy Gilmore. I like Rounders. I think it's a really good movie. I'd have Rounders. I mean, I like The Natural, Major League. I mean, come on, man. I mean, let's go. Dodgeball. Come on.
Oh, there we go.
Dodgeball's a great one. Come on, Andy.
Dodgeball is a great one. Hey, listen, I'm not trying to discount any of those great picks that you guys just said. And look, I know Dan Ingram head coach Joe Hardy brought up rounders as his favorite, which I know won some points with you. I'm just saying the tone of just bemusement, shock, surprise that came out of both of you guys when this movie was brought up. I just need to say it. I just think that some more respect needs to be put on that movie's name. It's got every one of the key components of a sports movie. And listen, we can agree to disagree, but you know, one that I really revisited. I asked this similar question to the first podcast I ever recorded. I was in college, and I like the only basketball player on the Gonzaga men's team that I could get, I think, for a long interview like that was a walk-on by the name of Ram Backamas, former SB Live employee Ram Backamas, who we've talked about extensively on this show. And he had an answer of a movie called Hardball from 2001 with Keanu Reeves. And I had never seen that movie before, and he walked away saying, "You go and watch it. It's a great movie. It's one of my favorites." I did, and it's a real tearjerker. So bring some tissues. But fantastic sports movie. So I got to put some respect on Hardball's name as well.
Never heard that movie. I've heard of Moneyball, which is great, but never Hardball.
Both absolutely good ones. And you know, hey, I'm not saying there's a right answer, but. There are no wrong answers. So Todd, last week, we spent a good amount of time on this podcast talking about, the Washington State Fairgrounds in Puyallup, where, basketball in Pierce County had been moved. Several leagues had moved all their basketball games outside, and it was a real haul of an effort from athletic directors, event organizers, coaches, all the above, to get games, that at that point were, only allowed to take place outside in your county. Outside playing for the start of the season. And sure enough, as soon as we pushed that episode out there, Governor Jay Inslee came out and said every county is moving to phase three. As we record this, every county is already in phase three. And sure enough, basketball is back in gyms. So nonetheless, a great spectacle. I just wanted to acknowledge that. We don't need to go super in depth on it, but Todd, just this whiplash has to be something that, you know, we're getting used to at this point, but outdoor hoops, we can kind of file that one away in the archives as wow, I can't believe this happened.
Yeah, I mean, but no surprise, the coaches, administrators that volunteered to put that all together were a little bummed, but it was also understood that this was a plan B option. So when the governor announced that all counties would be going back to phase three Tuesday, yeah, I was a little like, oh, really? You know, and what do we do? I think they gave the thought for 5 minutes to maybe play the first half of the league season, you know, which would be through this week at the fairgrounds and then return to home gyms the following week. But at the end of the day, I think athletic directors, after they got through the initial disappointment, I think they realized that home gyms were where they needed to be. The kids needed to play their games where fans could go watch them. And they didn't waste very long Friday to vote that in and get back to their home gyms.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, Todd. I thought you did a tremendous job with the article on that. I just, you know, I want to spotlight and give a ton of credit to the people in that community who thought outside the box and then went to the effort and the trouble and the time and the commitment to make it happen and make it work. That is absolutely an A+ effort. That is impressive. I really want to spotlight them because that is awesome. I would have loved to have seen that have games go on there for another week or two, as you kind of alluded to, but you know, at least basketball is back being played. That's all I can say.
Absolutely. I'll link that story that Todd wrote last week, just on that, how that all came together. really great kind of behind the scenes look, that Todd, you put together, after going out to the fairgrounds and, you know, witnessing some of the setup and talking to, administrators. So that's going to be linked in the show notes. If you want to read more, click through there. We're all back. High school basketball is back. And Dan, out in your region, the GSL is in full swing. And you just saw a really good GSL game, last night, Mount Spokane Gonzaga Prep. But as we start to look, around the state, I know leagues are starting at different times. The basketball calendar is a little bit all over the place, but you know, for a year and a half, these high school players have been kept off of the high school stage, with, you know, amid the pandemic shutdowns, and you're seeing a lot of players who are playing like, hey, I'm glad to be back and I've got something to prove. So I wanted to ask you guys this. What are one or two players that have stood out to you so far in the early in this high school season that have really made an impression?
You know, I understand a lot of the kids in the Metro League that are kind of, I guess you could say, on that upper tier are not playing. Banchero and Christopoulos come to mind quickly. Augusto with Nathan Hale has had a nice start to the season. He's had a good stretch. So he's caught my eye from a distance. Bryson Metz down at Union in Southwest Washington has caught my eye from a distance in the things that he's done. You know, but I had a chance to go to Gonzaga Prep Mount Spokane game yesterday, and G Prep has been, you know, the dominant program in the GSL for years, and Mount Spokane, climbed that mountain last night. they easily handled that win. I believe the final score, I believe they won by 11 or 12 maybe. But really, after they were in control most of the game, G Prep made a run here or there to kind of make it interesting at the end, but then the defensive pressure from Mount Spokane forced some turnovers and kind of sealed the game. Tyson Degenhart did what you would expect. Had, I believe, 24 points, and they came in a variety of ways. He started the game with two threes. He scored on the low block. He scored in space. You know, but the impressive player last night for me was Gonzaga Prep's Hodges Fleming. You know, I mentioned, you know, Degenhart's 24. I looked up our live scoring app towards the end of the game to see how many Degenhart had. And lo and behold, I look at it, Hodges Fleming had 40. And it was the quietest 40-point outburst I have ever seen at the high school level, maybe at any level, really. He did a nice job of doing it in the flow of the game. He didn't seem like he was pressing. He did a nice job of creating space to get his jumper off. So I was really impressed with how he played last night.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a guy who, you know, last year on that team with Liam Lloyd, Liam carried a lot of the scoring load, and Hodges was, you know, right there by season's end as somebody who could you know, get a bucket or two. And so I know they were looking for him to, you know, assume a bigger role. It's a big absence, losing Lloyd, and what a way to start the year. So I really like that. Todd, how about you? Anyone that stands out?
Yeah, well, before I went scouting a lot of the players here on the west side, particularly on the girls' side, I did watch Remember the Titans. It got me pumped up. So actually getting to the fairgrounds, I did get to see some boys and girls games. I wanted to kind of point out one boy, and then I'll get into a couple girl players that impressed me. Caden McDaniel played at the fairgrounds, scored 33 points in his first game. Against, I can't even remember at this, Mount Tahoma. No, it was somebody. It doesn't matter. But his shot, I know last year, the one kind of thing that if you watched him, you kind of knew that needed a little bit of work was improving that shot. It was a little flat and a little inconsistent. Came down, looked a lot more fluid. The shot looked much improved, a little more air, a little more in control of his range. Like I said, 33 points in that win. I'm very impressed with his offseason work moving forward, as well as Jackson Dorsey. I've told people that when I watch Jackson Dorsey on a lower scale, it kind of reminds me of Caden Perry a little bit, where the basketball is starting to catch up to the athleticism, and that showed as well. So those two young men at Wilson High School, even though they're not going to have a long season. Those are two young men that I would recommend going to see. Now on the girls' side, two girls I want to point out. Tamia Strickland at Seattle Prep scored her 1,000th point last career point last night. She signed at Fresno State. Somebody's really, really talented. Where I've seen in the past, where she's gone long stretches, not demanding the ball, not trying to make something happen. And now she's playing like a senior. She's playing like one of the best players in the state all around. And she continues to show that. Seattle Prep is off to a really good start in the Metro League. Congratulations to Tamia Strickland getting her 1,000th point last night. And then I wrote a story about this, and there's a young lady, a junior at Sumner High School, Allison Deaver, has gone through 4 same knee surgeries. And I'd heard about Allison Deaver before she had gotten to high school and said, watch out. She's really one to watch. And just her seasons have been cut short. She never played a varsity game until earlier this month. And I saw her at the fairgrounds against Bellarmine Prep. She had 21 points, but she's had a string of 20-point games. She's had a 31-point game against Emerald Ridge. For somebody who's come off 4 knee surgeries and been out of high school for her 9th grade and sophomore years, it looked like she hadn't skipped a beat. She's not even wearing a brace. So kudos to her and the hard work that she's put in to get back, get to play with her sister, Caitlin, and really contribute in a big way to a up-and-coming Sumner team.
4 knee surgeries. That's amazing. Good for her for fighting back and enduring all that and all those long recoveries. The results are certainly well deserved. I'm going to name 3 players. 2 of them are in the area I'm in Southwest Washington. But I'll start with somebody in the Metro League who's had a nice season to start the year, and that's Dennis Kadirich. And sorry, Dennis, if I'm mispronouncing your last name, but he's a 6'6" junior wing from Ingram. He's averaging around 18 points a game and just over 7 rebounds, shooting north of 65% from the field. And Ingram is a team we just released our interview with point guard Javon Irvin, who's also having a really nice year, and first year head coach Joe Hardy. They're a team that replaces a lot from last year, seniors that really stepped up and graduated, and so they were relying on to compete in that competitive Metro League, especially in a year where they see a little opportunity with some of these top stars opting out. They're relying on some guys to step up, and Dennis has really kind of answered the call. So he's somebody who stands out. He's had a couple of plays above the rim that have been really impressive. So keep an eye out for him. But down in Southwest Washington, a couple names that come to mind: Carson Frawley at Camas. He's stepped in, a 6'5", rangy kind of guard forward. Really, really crafty. He can score the ball in a variety of ways. He can defend, and he can play above the rim, which is really fun. And Camas has put together, they finished near the bottom of that league last year. And I know it was kind of a low point for that program, and they've really responded this season. They're playing well together. They just lost to Union for the second time, but what's new in the 4A GSHL. And speaking of Union, I want to give a quick shout out to Isaiah Vongnath. He's a senior guard, stands 5'5", gets up and down the floor really well. And if you hear the words Union Titans and a 5'5" guard, you're just gonna have to assume that this guy can shoot the ball, and boy, can he shoot the ball. He shot the ball well off the bench in spots last year on a really talented team in 2020, and this year he's up to 17 points a game on a team filled with shooters, like Dan, you said, with Bryson Metz and Caden Horn and a couple other guys who can really put the ball in the hole. So those are the guys that come to mind for me. We will be sure to link all those stories mentioned in the show notes. So head there if you want to learn more, and plenty of basketball to be covered. Lots of exciting stuff down the line. Todd, I know basketball is going to be played into mid June this year. And you and I are planning a road trip to the central part and eastern part of the state to see a ton of hoops in a couple weeks. So I'm excited for that. Probably just as excited as you.
Yeah, hopefully at the end of it, we'll get to join up with Danny and watch the rematch of that great Mount Spokane Gonzaga Prep game to kind of conclude our trip. Looking forward to it after the Memorial Day weekend.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys for joining us. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, really exciting interview. 5-star offensive lineman. He's narrowed his list down to 12 schools. Alabama, Auburn, Oregon, Texas, all of the big names you can think of are among them. We're going to get to know a little bit more about Josh Connerly, the person. So stick with us. I want to take a moment to tell you about something really exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest high school sports news here in Washington and across the country. With the SB Live Sports app, it's now even easier to follow your favorite team and tailor your experience to your interests. With real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more, the app delivers on the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's the number one source for Washington high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Todd Millis, myself, Andy Bueller, as well as SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and recruiting expert Dan Dickow. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. All right, we are back. Andy Bueller here. Todd Millis is with me, and really excited to welcome on to the podcast Rainier Beach 5-star offensive lineman Josh Connerly. Josh, thanks for being here, man. What's life looking like right now?
Man, nothing really. Just school and basketball. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely, yeah. You're juggling a lot of sports with a quick turnaround. I assume that's to an extent something that you're used to. But you made a little news last week. You released your top 12 schools, narrowed it down to 12 out of a lot of interest, obviously, and got a couple SEC powers in there, a little bit of Big 12, a little bit of Big 10, a lot of Pac-12. What's next in your recruitment? Are you going to take some officials this summer?
Probably not this summer, but more than likely towards the fall, like during the season, so I can really be there during games. I have a little sister on the way right now, as some know. So I'm probably not going to take any officials during June. So, yep.
Are you hoping to, with that kind of timeline, plan to make a decision after the football season?
Oh, yeah, for sure. As of right now, I want to make my decision at the All-American game. But, I mean, things could get pushed back if I don't know. Maybe if I don't take all my visits in time, then I'll probably push it back a little bit. But It's all just all up in the air right now.
Todd and I were talking about this before we started recording, but you're in a unique situation right now where you've got all these high level coaches trying to build relationships with you. You're talking to coaches regularly, whether it's texts, calls. What's that process like, and how do you manage it all? And I guess, what are you looking for in a coaching staff at this stage of the process?
Really at this point, really just trying to see like consistency, really, you know, because I mean, you're like my top school. So, I mean, I would want to see like how you treat your players, you know, or like how much you're talking to them on a regular.
Yeah. Is it a lot of just kind of feeling out those relationships? I mean, what's your contact like with most coaches on a week to week basis?
It really just depends. With head coaches, I don't really talk to head coaches as much unless it's like Cristobal, Helton, or Lake. But like, as far as like offensive line coaches or like just like recruiting staff, I mean, I probably talk to a few of them, like at least twice a week, you know? So, I'm in constant contact. So it's been pretty good.
Andy talked a little bit about, so the stuff that you're juggling right now, Josh, basketball, you're full-fledged right into basketball. It wasn't that long ago this spring you were playing football. You just seem like a beach guy, you know, through and through. Your love for Rainier Beach, even the last year or so, it hasn't gone maybe the way you thought it would or should on a football field. You stick with that school through thick and thin. Your love for Rainier Beach, how deep is that run?
I mean, it's really something that words can't explain, but I mean, the South End, and I mean, just the whole area. I mean, that's where I'm from, you know, and that's what I feel like I represent. So I wouldn't want to go through a bad season and then just leave somewhere that I'm from. You know, you wouldn't leave Seattle if something just doesn't go your way. If stuff doesn't go your way, then you stick through it and, you know, make the best of it. So, and I mean, that relationship with Beach and just with the South End in general, it's just, it's really nothing that you can't explain. I mean, once you're there, you'll feel it when you're there, you know, it's just something you don't get anywhere else, but there. It's not even comparable.
Yeah, I was talking to your high school football coach Corey Sampson yesterday, and he was telling me that you guys, you Jalen Green, Franco Grattan, you guys growing up had a pretty good youth team.
Oh yeah, yeah. Growing up, me and Jalen for 5 years, we were 50-0.
Didn't lose a game.
It was crazy.
Another thing that Corey sent me was a picture of you wearing a Rainier Beach jersey with the number 21. You grew up as a running back, even though your freshman year, even into your freshman year, I should say. Does that feel like forever ago when you moved over from running back?
When I moved from, because I have went from running back and middle linebacker to tight end and like being my freshman year at Beach, which I enjoyed. And then, I mean, we lost, 30 seniors going into my sophomore year, and we lost our whole starting O-line. So, I mean, I kind of just had to make the sacrifice and do what was best for a team. So, yeah, I didn't put on too much weight, but I put on enough weight to, like, hold my own, you know. And I feel like that's what I did.
Well, it's fascinating that you grew up, you know, playing running back, and then in high school you played a little tight end, because, you know, you've got the measurables for, you know, an elite level lineman at multiple next levels, college and potentially pro. And, you know, here you are your freshman year. And as you start to grow, you know, at some point, at a certain point, did you look at it and say, okay, yeah, this makes complete sense. This is where I belong to be.
Yeah. When I moved to offensive line, I mean, after my first game, I was kind of just like, I was kind of iffy about it, and I didn't really know how to feel. I mean, we got a win, so I mean, I felt pretty good about that. So, I mean, it was pretty nice. And then we had to play Jason Harris and Higley. I don't know if you guys remember Jason Harris, but he was like a 4-star UA All-American. And that was my second game at tackle. And I mean, I feel like I did pretty good. And that game kind of made me feel like, all right, I can do this a little bit. You know, I kind of know what I'm doing. I didn't really know what I was doing. Like, I knew how to drive block and, you know, like run block and stuff. But as far as pass setting and all that, I didn't really know what to do quite yet. So I had to get the hang of that. But I mean, I feel like I adjusted as best as I could.
When did it start to really click?
Over quarantine, you know, cause like I went through the whole season, just kind of just playing my position, you know, just playing my role. Then the quarantine, I really had to start training. Like once I started getting offers, I was like, all right, well, I gotta be good at this. You know, I can't just get offers and then just chill out, you know, like, all right, I got offers. Like, and then you just kind of just go about your way. But so I had to really like put my head down and learn, and like watching my own film over and over again, and pass it like at least 50 times a day, nearly 100 times a day with my coach. And I mean, I feel like I got the hang of it now. I mean there's always room for improvement. I still got to get better. We still got to go to college, we got to go to the pros, you know. You can't just settle for being good in high school, you know. So I got to keep on pushing and keep on learning.
Your footwork is what people talk about. And I know Andy and I have talked about this. We've probably seen it more on the basketball court than on a football field. How much of a benefit is that, Josh, just having feet that can move like that?
honestly, I mean, that's probably the best. I mean, a lot of people will say that's the best part of my game, but I mean, it helps a lot, to be honest, because it really helps you out for any type of person that you're going against. You're going against a super fast outside linebacker, or if you're going against like a bigger dude, like it's easier to set him, and then it even makes it kind of easier to set the faster guy too, because you can keep up with him, you know? So he's kind of easy to keep up with people and stay in front. But yeah, having elite feet is definitely God-given.
You talked about your love for the South End, for Rainier Beach, and just what the school and the community means to you. And this season, you know, I know there were a lot of kind of factors competing against you guys with the pandemic. You guys' numbers were down to the point where, you know, you dropped the division and then ended up ending the season early. But how was it holding it together this year? Because you shouldered a pretty big load. You know, you never left the field. And I know, you know, at times, just with your desire to win and your desire to win with this program, I can imagine it was emotional at times.
Yeah, it definitely got really tough, especially after those first two games. I mean, my role on the team was really just the lead. I honestly didn't really care about myself at one point. Like I didn't really care about myself at all, to be honest. It was really just trying to make sure, like, because I mean, I had some pretty fresh guys on the O-line that really never played serious O-line on in Metro, you know, because playing Metro, you're not going to find no type of football nowhere else in the state, maybe not even on the coast unless you're in CIF or, you know. But I mean, I was really just trying to make sure everyone knew what they were doing, make sure we're on the same page. I mean, sometimes we can get a little off track, but I was really just focusing on keeping, because I'm going to do my job regardless. You know, I got to make sure that everyone else is good. So I was really just trying to managing time and managing like my teammates' feelings and all that stuff. It's kind of hard to do, but I mean, yeah, as far as like shouldering a big load, yeah, it was pretty big.
You know, you have to keep a pretty strong amount of focus to be able to you know, handle all that and shoulder all that responsibility. And I know you're not really one to joke around in a football setting. You kind of always have been about your business. You know, you work hard. But I know you went to Coach Corey Sampson your sophomore year and said, "Hey, Coach, you know, how do I be a leader?" And you were really interested in taking that next step to do what you've been doing now. And what he told you was, you got to lead by example and you got to take control of it yourself. What has that process been like for you learning how to lead, and how freeing was it to just hear, hey, you know, if you show it in what you do and how you approach the game, you know, you're already taking a pretty big step in that direction.
Yeah. I mean, as far as leading by example, I mean, I feel like that's what I've been trying to do my whole life. And as of this year, it kind of had to become more vocal, because you can only do so much leading by example. Like, I mean, it's easy to play forward to leader, but with some of like people on our team, it's not really, you know, that we're not easily influenced, I should say. So unless, yeah, but it's always so much that you can do before you really got to say something. So I feel like I really switched from leading by example to being more vocal. But I mean, I'm still leading by example, busting my ass, trying to like show them like this is the way that you got to do it. You got to really bust your ass on the field, and you got to bust your ass in the books too. I mean, I still got 4.0, and I'm trying to handle a team, my own personal stuff, and then, you know, just it's there's a lot that goes into it. But yeah, as all that goes, I feel like I had to become more vocal to really make them understand how this stuff really works. And it's time to really grow up now, because majority of our team was juniors and sophomores, but now we're all upperclassmen now. So there's no more excuses for anything.
Josh, you play basketball for one of the most successful coaches the state's ever seen in Mike Bethay. You also play football for a coach and Corey Sampson, who's led the school to a state championship game appearance. Who have you found to be the more demanding coach to play for?
I'm supposed to answer that. more demanding. I feel like Coach Corey's probably more demanding, because I mean, Coach Mike, he's gonna always have players. He's gonna always have dudes. But I mean, with Coach Mike, I know he kind of just gave me my role, and you kind of just got to play a role with that. But Coach Corey, you got to play a role. You got to do a little bit extra too, because I mean, especially with football, because that's my main sport, you know. So I'm expected to do a lot more on the football field, you know, lock up the best DN, and then go make a sack. You know, on the basketball court, it's kind of just you're playing defense, you're grabbing rebounds. That's all you really need to do. You don't got to score too much. But I mean, they definitely want me to. They're definitely trying to build my confidence to score. But I mean, I kind of just try to pass and let the guards do their thing. But on the field, it's a little different, because I mean, you got to make sure your whole line's good. You got to make sure your whole D line is good, and sometimes the backers. And then you got to make plays on offense and defense. On basketball, it kind of takes a little bit with all the scores on our teams. I mean, that I've been a part of, kind of just it takes a lot out of your backpack, you know. So yeah.
Well, you seem to like to be put on the spot. I'm saying that sarcastically, but let me ask you a different question. Bigger challenge: trying to block JT Tuamalo on the football field, or trying to defend Paolo Banchero on a basketball court?
That's a good one. I mean, I played against Paolo twice, and I played JT about three times, I think. Wow. I'm going to be honest, Paolo's probably the best basketball player I've ever played against, easily, without a question. So I would have to say that, because that's the best basketball player I've probably ever seen with my own eyes. And I've seen a lot of dudes he can really just do everything, and he leads. Like, I mean, I've seen Michael Porter, and I think Michael Porter is better. Michael Porter is definitely the best player I've seen with my own eyes. But as far as playing against somebody, Paolo Banchero is that's a different type of player. And he's even better now. Like, I'm confident in him being a top five pick. But I mean, JT, that's definitely one of the better DNs I've ever played against. And he's a great person and a great player too. But yeah, I'd probably have to take Paolo on that one.
That's a lot of high level talent. Like you said, you have to go up against in multiple sports in that Metro League. But you're in the basketball season right now. You guys are finishing out the year with a season. You went straight from football into basketball. It was a lot of fun watching your team come together in 2020 and make that run to the 3A state semis. It felt like you guys just something clicked, and you guys figured out how to play with one another, and you won some games that, you know, there were some pretty good teams, and you know, it got down to you know, tied in the wire late in the game, and you guys pulled through. You know, you lose an encore leader like John Hart, who's off doing big things at a JC somewhere, but you guys bring back, as you said, a lot of talent. Tell us a little bit about your experience with this Rainier Beach basketball team this year.
This year, man, it's been a lot different from the last 2 years that I've been a part of the team. And I mean, we like each other, you know, because I mean, going through the year last year, there was a lot of individuals, you know. But this year, I feel like because we're so young, that's our only setback. Because, I mean, there's a lot of sophomores on our team that have some type of Metro experience, but they've never really played in the, you know, not really in the dome, like trying to win games. Nobody has that experience besides me and Winston Cole. And yeah, just me and Winston. We're the only players in Namir Robinson, you know, in Namir too. So us three, we're the only ones with real state experience, you know, and we're just trying to get everybody on that level to where we can get back and actually win state championship, you know? So, I mean, it's been, it's definitely hard to replace someone like John Hart for sure. But I mean, I feel like we're definitely more together this year. So we really, honestly, to set us apart from everyone else is really, we got to stop turning the ball over and we got to start rebounding more. And I mean, we'll make a serious push.
Well, right on. Well, Josh, wishing you the best with the rest of this basketball season, and especially this summer when you're going to welcome a new little sister into the world, and after that have a big senior season and you know, a lot ahead on the recruiting trail, planning out your next steps. So I appreciate you in the craziness of all that taking some time to come and talk with us.
Of course, appreciate you for having me on.
This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. Thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. This song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week.